from tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Spring Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, April the 19th, 2014. Carla B. Todd is the speaker of this service, teaching on The Curse of the Bastard and the Spirit of Abortion.
I'm going to talk about two spirits that I have found over the years are closely related. They overlap in so many ways, so that sometimes you can't talk about one without bringing up the other. Jerry spoke about rejection yesterday, and the Lord had already given me the message on the curse of the bastard, which is rejection, but also I'm going to touch on abortion, because that is the ultimate rejection. And sometimes it's not carried through, but it is contemplated. And so that spirit also comes in at the same time the curse of the bastard comes in. So I don't like to do one without the other. So today I'm going to kind of mesh them together. Now you may think that this doesn't even apply to you. I would have never thought that I had the curse of the bastard because I wasn't born illegitimately. You know, that's the way we kind of tend to put it just with that, but whatever happened to our forefathers happened to us. Now there are those that would argue with me that those things that happened generationally have no effect on us once we get saved. And just really sincerely, you know, knowing the truth of it and really needing to be able to have people understand that, the truth of it. I was asking God one day, because this fellow said, you know, you can just forget it, because that is all, we do not suffer for the sins of our forefathers. It's just our sin. And so when I left there, I said, well, Lord, what do you say to that? And he said, if that were true, there would be no need for anyone to be saved. Because we all need salvation because of what Adam did, and that he was the first man.
Yes.
And from then on, we are, it says in Hebrews, that Levi paid tithe in Abraham. Now Levi, for those of you who don't know, came after. You know, he was like a grandson or a great-grandson. But Levi paid tithe in Abraham. So whatever happens to our forefathers also happens to us. And this is what it was for me. The curse of the bastard was very strong in my life and was causing me much trouble, as was the spirit of abortion. I've never had an abortion, never even thought about having an abortion. But my forefathers, there was abortion, and there was even the thought, it doesn't have to be an abortion that actually took place, but just not wanting the baby can invite that spirit in. So we're going to look at both of these spirits today. In the Bible, in Deuteronomy 23:2, is where the bastard is mentioned. And it says, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. That is a pretty serious, long-lasting curse for 10 generations. Now, we say a generation is approximately 40 years, so 10 times that is 400 years. We have no idea what took place 400 years ago, and these things are perpetually repeating themselves. That's why I'm going to break that curse. In the Old Testament, that was a literal and physical thing. When the people of God came together, if you were born illegitimately, you were not allowed to even come in the presence of the congregation. Like a leper. You know, there were laws. Lepers couldn't come around people. People with issues of blood were not able to come when the people gathered together. Well, this was also one that you were not to come together. It was literal and physical. Now today, in the New Testament days, it's not literal and physical. We would never keep somebody out of church that was born illegitimately, conceived illegitimately, or had that curse in their family line. But it affects us spiritually. It keeps us out of the congregation of God. We can't enter in. We can't enter into the things of God. Maybe it affects us by not having an understanding of the things of God. Maybe it stands in the way of us going deeper with God. It affects us in many ways. Now, I like to study words, if y'all haven't realized that by now. I've been full of definitions. But what I've learned is that when I look up a word, many times it's going to give me the manifestations of what it is. And this is the definition of bastard. In the Strong's Concordance, it is, in the Old Testament, the word is Hebrew. In the Hebrew, it means to alienate. And that's what that spirit does. It alienates us. It makes us feel estranged, to feel useless and disrespected, withdrawn, like you don't belong, like you're an outcast, like you have spiritual leprosy. The way it affected me is I actually at times felt invisible. Like I wasn't even noticed, that nobody could see me. That's what it does to you. It puts you in like a place, a hidden place. Like you're not important and you don't even matter. I can remember when I was young and I would be in a group. When Mike and I got married, we would go, say, to a party or something, and they would say, "Well, this is Mike Utah, and this is, oh, you know Jerry at the bank, that's his sister. Or Miss Massey, her grandmother, that's her grandmother, this is her granddaughter." They never got around. I mean, it just really was like, am I anybody? All of myself, am I anybody? I mean, this is what, it's an evil spirit that will cause you to feel this way. So it alienates you. Another definition is mongrel, which means the offspring of parents of different breeds. You've heard of a dog being called a mongrel. Well, you kind of feel the same way. It's one of uncertain ancestry. And in the Old Testament, it meant the Hebrews, if they had children with anybody other than a Hebrew, that in the Old Testament was considered a bastard. Because God said in Deuteronomy 7:3, "Neither shalt thou make marriages with them," those that weren't Hebrews, "thy daughters thou shalt not give unto their sons, nor their daughters shalt thou take unto your sons." It was a very serious thing to God. It was important to keep the bloodline pure. Okay, Webster's Dictionary, the word bastard means of an inferior or atypical type, not having the qualities of a higher category, having a questionable origin. See, of an inferior or atypical type. So that's where your inferiority complexes come from. And I had that really bad at one time in my life. My dad had it. It was generationally inherited. So if you have an inferiority complex, this may be the root. They didn't have access to God or the things of God. They were kept away from the congregation of the Lord. They were outcasts. In fact, in Zechariah 9:6, it says, "A bastard and a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod." They even had another place for them to go, for them to live. Now, the definition of Ashdod is a ravager, one who practices ravaging. And ravage means damage resulting from ravaging, to lay waste, plunder, destroy, ruin. Ravage suggests violent, often repeated or continuing depredation or destruction, looting, theft. There is no respect for belongings. It causes people to be irresponsible. Have you ever wondered, and I've really begun to notice this, and it's kind of a way that you can recognize this spirit on somebody. You could give somebody a brand new house, and in 6 months it is trashed out. Because when you have that inferior thing on you, you really don't even feel worthy to have good, nice things. So usually they're torn up. You know, you can look at low housing developments, and the windows are broken out of them, the curtains are hanging out of the windows, all the cars are broken down and wrecked, and, you know, it is just, there is a strong spirit. You can see it. It's also the root of the vagabond spirit, because you don't belong anywhere. You just go from place to place to place to place. It's a reason that people church hop. It could be the root that you have a bastard curse on working in your life, so that you can't feel part of the church family. You're like a visitor all the time. You never become a part of that family. So you just kind of move from place to place. The gypsies probably have that in their life because they never settle anywhere. They just go from place to place. Now, you don't have to be illegitimately conceived or born for this to be on you. In the New Testament reference, it's in Hebrews 12, 6 through 8. And I'm going to look this up, because when I was making those notes, I hadn't yet started putting the scriptures in my notes. So Hebrews is where it tells us another way the bastard curse can come into your life. And that is Hebrews 12, 6 through 8. Hebrews 12, 6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, of which all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons." See, so even someone who is not disciplined, that spirit can come into them, because to a child, discipline equals love. If your children are not disciplined, they feel like you don't love them, and they're out of control. It's a scary thing to a child not to be disciplined. And I think a lot of the root of ADD and ADHD is just that. My husband and I know there is a brain, a chemical thing in the body that causes that, but sometimes ADD, my husband and I just call it avoided discipline disorder. You know, they just are afraid to discipline their children, and therefore the children don't feel loved. It's a serious thing. Okay, the Strong's, another definition in Strong's for bastard is this is the New Testament, a spurious or illegitimate birth. Now, you know, sometimes children are illegitimately conceived and the parents marry right close after that, so they think it's all taken care of. No, they were conceived illegitimately. We talked about God's order yesterday or day before, and the order is you marry and you have children. You don't conceive and then get married. You really start a marriage out with a curse when you do that. Most marriages that start out that way end within 2 years. Some of them make it, but most of them don't. Spurious means not genuine, not authentic. It means false, not belonging, counterfeit. Could have a false personality because of this spirit. You're like an actor. Illegitimate means born of a father and mother who were not married. This is the New Testament definition. And we have a whole generation of these coming up. And if you think about it, of course, this has been going on for quite some time already, but we are in for some days of real problems, because these generations will have absolutely no interest in the things of God, which means godlessness, which means lawlessness, which means trouble. Okay, so So we see that you can, this spirit can come into you generationally inherited, or it can come in by not being disciplined, loved, or nurtured properly. Children who are severely abused, children who are molested, it runs in incest. And then you may not be molested. I'll tell you, demons are cruel. I was never molested, but it's somewhere in our bloodline because I had all the same manifestations as someone who had been molested. And I've never been molested. So that used to be a question that bothered me. And you know, when I would teach on molestation, I would talk about my childhood. I had a great mom and dad. I was very much loved, but because the spirit was in me, you couldn't have convinced me I was loved. Mike married me. I didn't think he loved me. I was 30 years old before that left me. So it had an effect not only on me, but that same spirit is in all of my children. And I really, of course, you know, God has timing. Maybe I was not in God's perfect timing, but this knowledge of demons and having spirits cast out did not come to me until 2001. So for all those years, I didn't know. I thought these evil things were me. And if we don't know that they are an evil entity, we will think that the people are evil. But we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. These are spirits. And that's why Jesus said for us to cast out demons in His name, so that we can more freely and successfully live the Christian life that He wants us to have. So then there are the sins of the fathers. And sadly, we don't hear about those. You know, we hear, oh, Grandpa was a good woodworker, or Uncle Joe, he was... Man, he could fix any motor, but nobody says he also molested all the little girls in the family. Those things are kept secret. And Satan has his greatest power in the areas of our secrets. We keep those things safely hidden away in locked chambers of our heart, which work just like termites. If you don't do something with them, they can destroy your house. 1 Timothy 4:1-3 says, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having the conscience seared with a hot iron. Verse 3 says, Forbidding to marry. This is what propagates the bastard curse. They forbid to marry. Forbid means neglect. I would have never thought the word forbid meant neglect. That's why I look up words. Because I'm finding out that what I understand the word to mean isn't exactly what it means. So they will neglect to marry. Are we not in those days where people neglect to marry? Okay, so they may have... they may be married, but they have an unwanted pregnancy. It's maintained, and the baby is born anyway, but not wanted. That spirit comes in to the baby, into the unborn baby, not disciplined properly, not loved properly or nurtured properly. And this can be physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. Sometimes we have spiritual abuse. It can come into a child that's separated at birth. See, my middle son, who has had a lot of problems, was separated from me at birth because I know the devil was trying to kill him even then. He has a strong prophetic call on his life, a heavy anointing on his life, even in his lawlessness, my daughter will say. People just like Kyle, believe Kyle. And it dawned on me that it's because of the anointing of God on him. People trust him, even in his lawlessness. They trust him. And I told him one day, I said, Kyle, let me tell you why that is. Because the anointing of God is on you. But you are prostituting the anointing of God by using it not for God. Serious. But he was separated from me at birth. The doctor wouldn't let me out of the hospital. He was moved to another hospital, and I wanted to go be with him. No, you can't do that. Well, then I was this young kid that thought I had to do everything that any adult said. I was taught to be obedient to my elders. But if it were today, I would say, you know what? You cannot keep me from my baby. I am going. I do that today. I'm a lot bolder now than I was. Children who were adopted, this spirit is strong in. Because, you know what? When a baby is in the mother's womb, the baby hears the mother's heartbeat. The baby hears the mother's voice. The baby hears the voices of those around them. And then when they are given for adoption, they go into a home where there is strange voices. Suddenly there's a fear in the baby because where am I? Where's my people? You know, we don't think about that. In the womb, the spirit of that baby is not a tiny baby. It hears and it feels and it senses and it perceives. There was a little boy here one time, and he had an ancient spirit. And I was praying for him, and God had told me he had an ancient spirit, so I was addressing the ancient spirit. And the little boy looked up at me and he said, "You want to know what his name is?" I said, "Okay, it's Bob." I said, "Okay, we'll call it Bob." He said, "You want to know how he got there?" I said, "Okay." Well, my mama was playing with a Ouija board, and she was laying on the bed with a friend, and they were playing with the Ouija board, and Bob came out of the Ouija board and came into me. And I was like, "Really? That's interesting." So I went to the mother later, and when I said it to her, I thought she was going to faint. I mean, all the color drained out of her, and she just like almost collapsed. And I said, "What is it?" She said, "Pregnant with him. There's no way he could have known that." But see, spirits see things we don't see. The spirit of that baby knew what happened to him. Okay? Maybe the death of a mother. Suddenly the mother is not there and the baby feels abandoned. They don't understand. Babies don't understand these things. Or maybe there's an absence for some reason. I thought about this when the war started, and all these women are going to war. Some families, the husband and the wife, went away to war. And what are these children to think? These little children, they don't understand war. They only understand, "Mama and Daddy left me." That's all they understand. I used to think this spirit was so strong in me because my mother went to work when I was poor. And that was part of it. In my little mind, she didn't want to be with me. That's what was in my little mind. Babies that are in vitro fertilized, single, unmarried people who are adopting children of incest. You know, insanity runs with incest and multiple personality disorders. So rejection enters in. By mom and dad, they think they don't love me. Rejection by others, nobody loves me. So there's loneliness and broken hearts and wounded spirits. You even reject yourself, self-hatred. And ultimately, sometimes it will end up in suicide. Such a hatred of yourself. Satan's plan is to isolate you so he can kill you. That's why depression is so bad, because usually when people are depressed, they isolate themselves. I suffered a 4-year serious depression. You have no self-worth. You feel unworthy, unworthy to be loved, which is a lie. God loves you, but see, I couldn't receive that. So there's a lying spirit there that continually tells you, "They don't love you." A lying spirit. And a lying spirit wants you to believe the lie. You know, I've realized recently that that this is the way Satan works. He comes, because he's a liar, right? There's no truth in him. So he comes and tells you something. And it's going to be something different for all of us, depending on what your thing is. So let's just say he comes and says, nobody loves you. Okay, so in your mind, or he accuses you of something. So in your mind, you begin to dispute that or argue the point or defend yourself. And it causes wrong thoughts. And then those wrong thoughts begin to release chemicals in the brain that shouldn't be there, like fight or flight things. And so when those chemicals are released, it has an effect on your whole body and creates a feeling. And then, as humans, we love to talk about our feelings. I just feel this, and I just feel that, and I just feel this, and I just feel that. And so what happens is we begin to say how we feel, and what we're really doing is coming in agreement with Satan. We come into agreement with Satan. God is looking for those who will come in agreement with him, no matter what it looks like. So there's a lying spirit there. And there's an unloving spirit. Because if nobody loves me, I can't love myself. And how can I love anybody else? So then there's an unloving spirit there, which causes you not to be able to receive the love you need or give the love you'd like to give. It's lost. And then, of course, we build up all these walls. If we've been hurt, we build up these walls so nobody's ever going to hurt me again. And that wall stands between you and God. Damaging. It's what causes people to stay in bad relationships. I used to wonder, why would a woman stay with somebody who is beating them or constantly emotionally abusing them with words because they don't feel worthy to be loved. So they stay in that. Nobody else is going to love them anyway. May as well stay in this one. And then those spirits become tormenting spirits. So in the Old Testament, it's literal and physical. In the New Testament, it's a spiritual thing. It's an antichrist spirit because it's totally against what God tells us. If Jesus Christ died and shed every drop of his blood for us, what more could anyone do for us? You know, we tend to see that as a blanket thing. Oh, it's over the whole world, but not me individually. No, it was for us individually. So it wants to keep you from the things of God, keep you from an intimate relationship with him and with others. It'll keep you from growing spiritually. So the spirit of rejection causes us to act in a way that will cause others to reject us. How perverted is that? It will cause people to act in a way that will cause other people like, oh gosh, here they come. And that's then the spirit of rejection says, see, they don't want you either. But they do it on purpose to keep from being hurt, because it couldn't really be you they're rejecting. It's the way you're behaving. Maybe people with this spirit don't take care of themselves. They don't wash their hair. They don't wear deodorant, you know, because then they'll smell and people will stay away from you because they smell. It's not because they're rejecting me. They just don't like the way I smell. It's weird. Cruel. People with a spirit of rejection become a deep, dark hole of need that is impossible to feel. No matter what you do for someone to try to show your love for them, it's never enough. It will just suck the life out of you. This is when people dress in ways, you know, they have all these piercings and chains hanging in their nose and all these things that look kind of scary, dye their hair jet black and wear it up to here. Like if they bend over in front of you, it would slice you in half. You know, it's like a big dagger. I mean, those are the people dressed like that because they really want people to stay away from them. It has a rejection thing to it. And gangs. Lots of gangs are full of people with the pastor card. They're looking for any kind of family, no matter what it is. They just want to belong somewhere. And they'll do whatever it takes. You know, some gangs will require you to kill another person to be a member of their gang. And people are desperate enough to be a part of something that they do these horrific things. I remember children when I was in elementary school in the cafeteria. There would be all the little kids and then way down there by themselves. One person that would just keep their head down and eat like this, and because they had a spirit of rejection. I used to feel sorry for them. I wanted to go sit with them, but I didn't want to be rejected. So I stayed away from them too. Isn't that horrible? You know, when you hear about a serial killer, they'll have them on television, they're bringing them out of the house with handcuffs on and everything, and the neighbors are standing around saying, but you know, he never bothered anybody. He was such a nice guy. He was quiet. He stayed to himself. Yeah. So we're gonna deal with these things, and then we're gonna move into the other ones. So if you related to any of this, and I know some of you have heard this before, but sometimes we say it's like peeling an onion. Sometimes it'll hit the top thing, but the other ones underneath aren't moving yet. So when you get the top thing off, we can get to the next thing. And I thought when God said, do the curse of the bastard, and then jeered God up in total rejection, I thought, uh-oh, Lord, what now? He said, you just stick with the program. I said, okay. I asked him, are you sure that's what you want? Yes, okay, so here we are. Okay, so we're just going to deal with these things from the spirit of rejection. First of all, let's pray a prayer of repentance. Father, in the name of Jesus, I hear of this spirit that could be passed down by my forefathers. So I take accountability for the cause of the bastard curse being in my life. And I forgive my ancestors. And I ask you to forgive them. And I ask you to cleanse my bloodline from the curse of the bastard all the way back to Adam and Eve. And I break the bastard curse off of my life and off of my seed and my seed's seed forever. In Jesus' name. Okay, so right now in the name of Jesus, I just come against the curse of the bastard. I break it. And you know what a curse? A curse is a doorway that opens you up for other spirits to come in. Okay, so I bind that curse and break it off of your life right now. I break the curse of the bastard in Jesus' name. I command it to go in Jesus' name. All self-destructive behaviors, go in the name of Jesus. Self-hatred, I bind you and break your power. Self-hatred can bring in autoimmune diseases because you're attacking your own self. So I bind all autoimmune diseases and break their power right now in Jesus' name, and I command them to go. All lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, all antibodies that don't fight, all antibodies that are attacking my own self, I bind you and break your power and command you to go in Jesus' name. All cutting. You know, the man that lived in the tombs that had legion, it said he was in the tombs all the time, constantly cutting himself with rocks. That's nothing new. It's still going on today. And I've heard kids that have done that say that they are in such emotional pain that it's the only way they can relieve the pain is to create a greater pain. Is that not perverse? So I bind all spirits of self-destruction and hurting yourself, cutting yourself, biting yourself, starving yourself, all anorexia, go in the name of Jesus. All obesity, trying to destroy yourself with food, I break obesity and gluttony in the name of Jesus. I command all sadness, depression, oppression, go in the name of Jesus. Death wishes, I was to the point, I went to the psychiatrist, and I told him that he asked me if I was suicidal. Well, I might have been, but I was such a chicken. I couldn't swallow pills, so forget overdoses. I didn't like pain, so forget any of that. But I told him no. I said, no, I'm not suicidal. I just wish I had never been born. That's where I was. I just wish I had never been born. So I bind death wishes, wishing that you'd never been born. All death spirits, I bind you in the name of Jesus. All excessive tattooing, piercing, all addictions, all bondage to addictions, go. See, sometimes whenever you have such a hole in you, you try to fill it with whatever you can. Either food or shopping or drugs or alcohol, gambling, pornography, whatever is your thing to try to anesthetize, to whatever makes you feel good. Because when you do these things, like drugs, it releases endorphins, self-gratification, all of these things release endorphins, and that's what you get hooked on. It's not actually, it's the feeling you get hooked on. You know, people who say, pot is not addictive. Well, maybe not, but the high is. Your need to escape is addictive. So all bondages go in the name of Jesus. Everything you do to escape, books, novels, movies, fantasy, go in the name of Jesus. All infirmities, real or imagined. Many people that have the bastard curse will be hypochondriacs because it's the only way they feel they can get attention or somebody's real concern. So they have real or imagined diseases. So I come against hypochondria in the name of Jesus. All unclean spirits, dirty-mindedness, fantasizing in your mind, or actually carrying out, spirits of whoredom, looking for love in all the wrong places. STDs, all herpes, AIDS, syphilis, gonorrhea, all STDs. I break your power off their life and command you to go in Jesus' name. All deaf and dumb spirits. People who have the bastard curse will have learning disabilities, deaf and dumb spirits. Jesus said, you foul deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to leave and don't come back in Jesus' name. And I say the same in the name of Jesus, deaf and dumb spirits, go. All arrested development. You know, the Lord told me one time that I was frustrated with my son because he got arrested at 24 for smoking marijuana. I am like, what is the deal? He's not 14. And God said, you know, emotionally, he is. And mentally and socially, his age was stunted at the age he started drinking, smoking, whatever. So I come against all arrested development caused by drugs, alcohol, and bondages of all sorts. Arrested development, I command you to go in Jesus' name. And I speak healing to the mind, healing to the brain, healing to the emotions, healing to your social abilities in the name of Jesus. I speak a supernatural healing and maturity to the age that you are now in Jesus' name. All rebellion. People who don't feel love rebel. So I come against all rebellion and behavioral problems. Going back and forth to jail, prison. Bad attention's better than no attention at all. I break that in Jesus' name. All tardiness. People with the bastard curse like to be late because they get attention. You know, if you're in a meeting or something and the door opens, everybody turns to look. So I come against tardiness in the name of Jesus. Attention getting, a need for attention, go. Extreme shyness. Sometimes it will cause a person to be extremely shy, but really it is that's an attention thing too. So if you have a child that is shy, quit saying they're shy. I'm buying that spirit. My little granddaughter used to run and get under the table. I just could not stand. I went in there and I break that spirit off of you right now in the name of Jesus. Get out of her. She's not shy. She's not scared in Jesus' name. That's That's how we need to do the devil when he's doing that. You know, well, they're shy. That just keeps them in a hole. It stunts them. So I come against all shyness in Jesus' name. All hiding spirits come out of hiding in Jesus' name. Being invisible, I bind you and break your power. In Jesus' name, you go. All fear spirits, fear of rejection, fear of not being wanted, fear of not nobody wanting you around. I bind all those fear spirits. And also, when you have the bastard curse, I had horrible phobias. I mean, I would not be able to sleep at night if I saw a roach. You know, I walked up to the building a while ago and there was a spider. And I've had some experience with spiders. No spider is a good spider. But anyway, I just said, I bind you right there. You know, sometimes they'll jump. No, I bind you to the floor. Now. I was given power to tread over serpents and scorpions. So you can bind it. I bind it right there. If I go into a building, if I'm going to sleep somewhere, I bind every creature of darkness right there where they are. They will not move in Jesus' name. And then I go to sleep. I used to would be afraid. Fear. Just fear on every side. His name is Megromisibib. Fear on every side. I bind Megromisibib right now. I break your power and I command you to come out. Fear on every side. Terror. Anxiety. Go in the name of Jesus. Narcissism. Thinking the universe revolves around you. I bind that evil spirit of narcissism. I break your power and I command you to go in Jesus' name. All self-consciousness. Because you feel that way, you become conspicuous, or you think you are. So you're always self-conscious about, I don't want anybody to see me. People are afraid to go in crowds or whatever. I bind all self-consciousness and break your power and command you to go. Insecurity. All insecurity, go in Jesus' name. Performance-oriented. Thinking that you have to perform and be perfect in all the competition and work. I'll make you love me by doing good things. Okay, we're going to stop right there on that one because some of these others are also with the abortion issue. Okay, so with the abortion thing, even though I've never had an abortion, this was a strong spirit in my life because my mother's mother was abandoned at birth. So that's partly where the bastard thing came in, but also I don't know the circumstances that she was conceived in. Back in that day, it was a real shame and a stigma to get pregnant outside of marriage. So I don't know what the circumstances were. I just know that if she had been born to a happily married couple, she would have been with her mama and daddy. So there was some reason that she was given away. And so she always had questions. I spent a lot of time with her when I was little, and I remember we'd be in a crowd, and she would look around with this look of longing and say, I wonder if any of these people could be my brothers and sisters. You know, it bothered her, and I know that it would, that you don't know where you came from. Well, anyway, I had all these questions in my life, and I would have never thought that these were connected to the abortion spirit. One of the things I never could understand was why I could not have a close relationship with my mother. I just could not get close to her. I knew she loved me, she took good care of me and everything, but I don't ever remember her picking me up and putting me in her lap and loving on me. Thank God my daddy would do that, so I wasn't completely without affection. But I would see other mothers, and my mother was not like that. She went to work. She'd rather work outside the house than stay home. She was a good housekeeper. She cooked for us. She did everything a mom does. She went through the motions without the emotion. It's called a mechanical mom. She sometimes had an angry voice for no reason. And I would ask her, are you mad? No. Well, it sounds like you are, you know, but that it's an anger, a deep-rooted anger in there. But then she told me one day that when she was 14 years old, her mother tried to abort her. Imagine what that would do to a young person. And Mama said, well, it never bothered me. But see, she already had that hard-heartedness. Can you imagine how a woman would have to harden her heart in order to lay down and let someone kill the baby that's inside of them? You would have to really put yourself in another place almost to not realize what's going on. But you know what? People who have had abortions never escape what they went through. Sometimes people say, I wonder if they've just forgotten about it. No. I can assure you the tormenting spirits are there. And then there was my own self. I would have these unnatural thoughts. Of course, I always thought it was because my brother made me so mad that I could murder him. You know, but I thought that was normal. You know, siblings do have those kind of things. But then there were also some unnatural thoughts of, like one day I was just sitting on the swing petting our little cat. And she was real petite, and I was looking at her, and I put my hand over her head. Her whole little head would fit right in my hand. Little mama kitty, you are so petite. And I heard this voice, one twist, and I pushed her off my lap because where did that come from? I don't want her to hurt her. And see, I thought these things were me. There's an evil thing, and I'm evil. I was so glad to find out that it was just an evil spirit in me that could be cast out. And thank God it was. I would have feelings of guilt when I hadn't done anything wrong. I just felt guilty. If there was a meeting at school, I remember one thing in particular. The teacher called all of us together in gym class and was just chewing all of us out because someone had written on the bathroom wall. I have never written on a bathroom wall in my entire life, but if they were looking for a guilty face, it was that Carla. She did it. I could see it all over her. But you know what? We got to be careful picking things out like that about people because it can give you the wrong idea. It could just be a familiar spirit. So you can have a false guilt. But there was a murderous rage down in me. I knew there was a murderous rage. And I thought, when my brother leaves home, thank God, I won't have to deal with that anymore. Well, it was in me. It was in me. And you know when it revisited? After I had my first baby. And there was a lot about him that reminded me of my brother. So that's why I went to the psychiatrist. He said, why are you here? I said, I have a 3-year-old that brings out the same rage in me that my older brother did. I could never catch my older brother, but I could catch this 3-year-old. And I'm really afraid I'm going to hurt him. I am afraid I'm going to hurt him. I don't want to hurt him. Did the psychiatrist help me? No, he didn't have the cure. I was for 7 months, spent a lot of money for him to sit and listen to me talk about my feelings. But thank God, Jesus showed up and took care of it in an instant. And he can do the same for you. I had a fear of abandonment. When I was a little girl, I had this recurring dream of being at the grocery store. And Mom and Dad they had just about finished bagging the groceries, and Mom would say, you can go on and get in the car. So I would walk out in the parking lot, you know, a little bitty kid, and every car in the parking lot was just like ours. Well, I didn't know which car to get into. So I would walk real slow and watch over my shoulder to see where Mom and Daddy went, because I just knew that if I got in this car, they would get in this car and leave. See, that's abandonment. That is fear of abandonment. Why? I've never been left anywhere, but it was an evil spirit. And I had many nightmares. I was always having nightmares of being stabbed. So to the point that I would go to bed, I would sleep on a pillow, I would lay a pillow down. I mean, it took me a while to get ready for bed. I would lay a pillow down, and I would lay on top of a pillow, and I'd put another pillow on top of me, and then cover me with the covers. Just in case somebody stabbed me, at least the pillow wouldn't go in very far. Now, isn't that a fear? And you know what? I've talked to cousins another cousin, I always knew somebody was right out my window and they were going to come in and stab me. See, this is real. It's a real thing. And because of probably my grandmother, who was pregnant in the situation she was in, probably regretted being pregnant, regretted what she had done, didn't want to be pregnant, didn't want the baby to be born, and all of those spirits came in. And when my grandmother told my mother that she had tried to abort her, the doctor had given her just enough of something to make her really sick, not kill the mother, but to kill the baby. But it didn't work. But I believe she had had others. My mother said she remembers coming home and she had had a miscarriage. Well, I'm not so sure it was a miscarriage. You know, she probably miscarried, but she did it on purpose. You know, she drank the stuff the doctor gave her because she had five kids just like this. And, you know, back in the day, I mean, there are families with 10, 15 kids. Well, you know good and well, there were some of them in there that's like, oh, no. You know, and the baby feels that. It's rejection. So they don't purposely feel that way. When they come, they love them. But, hey, that rejection came in. Wishing I'd never been born. Wishing I were dead. I had migraine headaches. I could never understand the migraine headaches, which came they were hormonal. I don't have those anymore, thank God. But I've been healed of everything else. What is it with these migraine headaches? Well, after reading the book, and the book is here, it's called, they've changed it several times, I think now it's called Abortion's Aftermath. And my daughter had asked me to buy that book because she had friends that had abortions. Well, I bought the book, and then she got pregnant and moved away from home, so the book was left there, and I'm dusting one day, and the Lord said, read that book. I was like, oh, Lord, I don't want to read that book. He said, well, you'll be working with women that have had abortions, and you need to know this information. Well, okay, I'll read it on that, but it answered a bunch of questions for myself. God knows. I'm real careful when he tells me to read the book, to read it. Okay, and I had this Jekyll and Hyde personality. Oh, I could be so sweet and kind and everything, but turn on a dime and be this monster. I can remember catching my reflection in the mirror one day, and it was not the bad reflection. It was the good reflection, and I looked in the mirror and I was just perplexed. How in the world could anything so monstrous be inside that person that I'm looking at? But I was aware of that monster. So Satan's greatest power over us is in the area of our secret sins, whether they be generational sins that are kept secret or our own personal sins. We have this garbage dump down in us where we keep those things. And Satan's plan is to make you keep it secret. You keep it secret. That way he can blackmail you. He can torment you with it. He can make you feel ashamed and control you. It's spiritual blackmail. Another thing abortion can do is to abort things in your life. There was a man here one time, he said, the Lord has given me a ministry. I've seen it. It's a vision. I know it's going to supposed to be this, and I can, every time I start to bring it to pass, everything ends abruptly, the finances end abruptly, or all the plans end abruptly, and I wasn't getting anything. I said, well, it's just Friday, come back tomorrow, we'll see. But I prayed that night, Lord, what's the man's deal, what is it? And God showed me his face the next morning, and he said, he's got a spirit of abortion working in his life. So the next morning, I told him, and I said, well, it doesn't have to be you, it could be Jim. No, it was me. Me and my wife had three babies really quickly, and she got pregnant again, and we decided it would be better not to have another baby. Now, see, he probably never connected the dots, but that's what can happen. It can cause you things to die in your life. And I'm going to read a scripture out of Leviticus 20. I saw this one day and it really spoke to me. Leviticus 20, verse 1, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Again thou shalt say to the children of Israel, Whoever of the children of Israel are of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, who giveth any of his seed unto Molech, and that was an idol where they would go and sacrifice their children. Today, it's called abortion. It says, Anyone who gives his seed unto Molech, or child sacrifice, he shall surely be put to death. See, that's a death sentence. You're going to be, if God says they shall be put to death, you shall stone them with stones till they die. Now, we don't do that today, but maybe you end up with an incurable disease. Who knows how that death sentence is going to fall on your life. And we live in a country, unfortunately, where abortion is legal. So the whole nation falls under the curse of abortion. How does it affect us? Well, it can cause people to be sterile. It can cause miscarriage after miscarriage. It can cause babies to die in the womb. I have a neighbor who was 9 months pregnant. She was due to give birth, and the baby died like 2 days before her due date. And she had to give birth to that dead baby. Well, I didn't know anything about all this then, but I do now. And I wonder, was there a generationally inherited curse of abortion in the family? Because once you have an abortion, there is a spirit of death in the womb. And maybe it's a familiar spirit of death in the womb. It kills the seed. You know, sometimes the man is not sterile, but for some reason his seed will not fertilize the egg. Could be an abortion spirit. So it's far-reaching. We just have no idea what is affected by this spirit. It goes on to say, And I will set my face against that man, and I will cut him off from among his people, because he has given his seed unto Molech, to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do in any way hide their eyes from the man when he gives his seed unto Molech, and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off and all that play the harlot after him, to commit harlotry with Molech from among their people. Thank God for Jesus, the blood of Jesus, that curse does not have to be a perpetuated thing generation after generation, that we can have it broken off of our lives. And I had no idea that this was working in my life. But you know what? If you say, oh, I saw something in my yard the other day. It was white, and it was short. It had kind of a long neck and a long bill and yellow feet. And it went, quack, quack, quack. Oh, well, that's a duck. Well, it's the same way with evil spirits. They have characteristics and personalities. And they act exactly the same way in everybody they're in. Might be a different faith, but they all do the same thing, behave the same way. So you can recognize them and go after them and cast them out. Okay. This can also be the root of cancers. Women who have had abortions will have breast cancer, uterine cancer, cervical cancer, I think those are all in the fallopian tubes. All the female parts that are about reproduction and nurturing, those cancers will show up. It's very prominent in women who have this spirit working in their lives. Same for a man. Do you know it affects the man the same way? I called the man who wrote the book. You've got a lot of testimonies in this book about women and what happened to the women. But what about the men? There was a man for every woman. And many times, the man wants the abortion worse than the woman does, for whatever reason. So it could show up in a man by making the man sterile, or the babies never go full term, It could be the man in the man that causes the miscarriages and the stillborn babies. I believe it's the root of SIDS, sudden death infant syndrome. Those babies, there's nothing wrong with those babies. They just die. So in our family, as I looked at this, three people, and my grandmother had five children, and they all had children. There's 14 grandchildren. I'm one of them. Among all of those five children that she had, three had breakdowns. There was one suicide. Her only son committed suicide at 60 years old. All the girls had fibroid tumors or cysts that they were dealing with, having cut out all the time. They all had hysterectomies. They were all mechanical moms or mechanical dads. Among my cousins, the 14 of us, several of us have suffered depression. A couple of them are sterile. One had a baby die right after birth. There have been miscarriages. Out of 14 of us, there have been 7 divorces. It'll kill your marriage, kill your relationships. Ongoing mental problems, bipolar, several with bipolar, adultery problems, premature births, and one abortion that I know of, maybe others that I don't know of, but she has had a lifelong emotional roller coaster in and out of bad relationships, tormented, and has had one abusive relationship after another. Lots of times women feel that they need to be punished for what they've done, so they put up with things like that. In Exodus 20, verse 5, in the Ten Commandments, it says that the iniquities of the fathers are visited upon the third and the fourth generation. So it doesn't have to be you, familiar spirits. It explains to me these women that killed their babies. There was one testimony in there of a young woman who was in college, Christian. Her husband was Christian. He was going to be a doctor. They had planned their future. Of course, they were fornicating. So she got pregnant. Well, it wasn't the right time. This is going to mess up everything. So they decided discreetly to have an abortion. They put it behind them and went forward. He finished medical school. They were very involved in their church. He left home one night to go to a church meeting and came home, and she had killed all three of their children. Never an inkling that it would happen, but that spirit of murder was there, and it waits for an opportune time. And I know the way demons work. They can be down in there, and when they decide they want to be satisfied, they start coming up, and it drives the person. It will not leave the person alone until they do whatever it is. They commit the murder, and then the demon subsides. That's why sometimes people say, I did not do that. I didn't do it. I used to think these people are crazy. They know good and well. I mean, you've got blood all over you. Well, who do you think did it? But now I understand. When you understand demons, you understand the demonic. And they'll come up and just take the person over. It's almost like you can see the switch, in fact. It's almost like they come up and take you over, and it does this. And then you see the demon. You don't even see the person. People that have been attacked and almost killed, the look in their eyes, it wasn't them. That's right. It was the demon of murder or whatever. That's why the deliverance ministry is so needed. That's why these things happen in churches. In our hometown, there was a deacon of a church that was caught in a park where homosexuals met to have homosexual sex. And he was a family man, a daddy, deacon in the church. But see, if you don't have deliverance, you're just stuck to manage the demon, hopefully in a secret way where nobody knows. And so many people get trapped in that. They don't know what else to do. So their lives are destroyed. And the family's life is destroyed. So the spirit of murder is there. So how many of us may be under the curse of abortion and don't even know it? Today I pray that we will be delivered and set free, even receive healing in our spirit, soul, and body. You know, if God said, talking to Cain, the voice of your brother's blood cried out. Can you imagine the sound of all the children that had been killed by abortion and murdered because of the spirit of abortion being in somebody that caused them to murder a live child? The sound of those children's voices crying out to God must be deafening. Every time I hear about something like that, I thank God that they are with Jesus. They are with Jesus. Okay, so let's pray a prayer of repentance. And if not for yourself, for your ancestors. Father, I recognize abortion as murder. One of the seven things you hate. The shedding of innocent blood. I am truly sorry for having an abortion or thinking about an abortion. Or agreeing with anyone else that had one. Or assisting, or my ancestors assisting anyone else. Whether it was to drive them to the clinic, help them pay for an abortion, or helping to perform an abortion. I will never have anything to do with abortion again, except to oppose it. I ask you to forgive me now and forgive my ancestors for the sin of abortion and murder and all related sins such as fornication, incest, rape, adultery, and lying to cover it up. Satan, I formally break all ties with the sin of abortion and renounce all connection with abortion and any other claims you may have upon me for the sin of abortion, thinking of abortion, suggesting abortion, assisting, no matter how small. I break the soul ties that were formed with the doctor, the nurses. That's another area. If you're a doctor or a nurse that has helped in this, those same things fall on you. I break soul ties with the doctors, nurses, everyone in the clinic, instruments used, whoever paid for it, and the person I conceived with. I break soul ties with them now. Send their souls and spirits back to them. And I call my soul and spirit back to myself, cleansed and sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. I take accountability for the sins of my forefathers. And Father, I ask you to go all the way back to Adam and Eve and cleanse my bloodline from the sin of abortion. Now, you spirit of abortion, I command you to get out of me. All spirits of death, murder, sorrow, grief, shame, go, self-hatred, and all familiar spirits of abortion, go in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of resisting God and the Holy Spirit, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. Mental torment, go in the name of Jesus. Hearing voices, I command you to shut up and go in Jesus' name. No peace, troubled and tortured conscience, I bind you and command you to go in Jesus' name. Unnatural thoughts, unnatural feelings, inability to forgive, resentment, bitterness, go in the name of Jesus. All unforgiveness, go in the name of Jesus. Emotional torment, having no joy, depression, fear you're losing your mind, all insanity spirits, you go in the name of Jesus. I bind mental illness and command it to go. Jekyll and Hyde tendencies. Go, I break your power and command you to go. Surprising hatred, hard-heartedness. I break your power and command you to go. Fear of being abandoned. Fear of being found out. Fear of starvation. Fear of being killed. Go, in the name of Jesus. Hardened heart against God or others, having no compassion, I command you to go in Jesus' name. All insomnia, fatigue, nightmares, go in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of trouble-ridden relationships in Jesus' name. All sickness and afflictions from the curse of abortion, you go in Jesus' name. All self-hatred, all autoimmune diseases, I command you to go now in Jesus' name. I break your power. All lurking murderous feelings, anger, rage, murderous rage, go. All anger, go in the name of Jesus. Thoughts of killing yourself or someone else, I bind you right now. Spirits of murder, go in Jesus' name. Suicide, I bind you and break your power. Unsatisfactory marriage relationships, unsatisfactory sex life due to this spirit, I bind you and break your power. Guilt-ridden, false guilt, feeling guilty when you've not done anything wrong, I break your power and command you to go. Extreme forgetfulness, women who have had abortions say that they feel spaced out. They're walking around like spaced out, confused, unable to focus. Go in Jesus' name. All confusion, go. Wearing a mask, hiding all the inner turmoil, all the inner torment, go in the name of Jesus. Overcompensation of child hatred by overly paying attention to children when it's not sincere. I bind that and break it. The unloving spirit, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. All spirits of bondage, self-destructive behaviors, alcoholism, eating disorders, drug abuse, obesity, cutting, excessive tattooing, inflicting pain, go in the name of Jesus. All chronic illnesses, go in Jesus' name. Migraine headaches, I break your power and command you to go. Difficult periods, cramps, PMS, difficult labors, miscarriages, stillbirth, I break your power in Jesus' name. I break the power of sudden infant death syndrome, sterility, infertility, all grief, sorrow, and sadness, go in Jesus' name. Divorces, I break your power in Jesus' name. All adultery and infidelity, you go. All whoredom spirits, you go in Jesus' name. Putting up with abusive relationships, I bind you and break your power and command you to go right now in Jesus' name. I come against all cancers, women cancers, cancers of the breast, the fallopian tubes, the uterus, the ovaries, the cervix in Jesus' name. All women cancers, go in Jesus' name. All man cancers, cancers of the breast, testicular cancer, prostate cancer, heart trouble, gallbladder trouble in Jesus' name. Benign cysts and tumors, lumps and fibroids, go in the name of Jesus. All inferiority and insecurity, you go. I bind that mechanical mom in Jesus' name. I break your power and I give you a loving and tender heart for your children in Jesus' name. Also in men, I bind that mechanical dad and I loose a loving and tender heart for your children. All spirits of infirmity, one sickness after another, hypochondria, go in Jesus' name. Spirits of anger and rage, mean-spirited, the spirit of the mean man, having a mean streak, you go. The ugly spirit, feeling ugly, acting ugly, and the secret desire to inflict pain on others, I bind you and break your power in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and fill up the vacant places, sealed with a sign that says no vacancies for these things to come back ever again in Jesus' name. Now go and sin no more. Now I want to speak blessings. I speak healing to the broken hearts and wounded spirits that you may not be aware is connected to being unwanted. I lose the spirit of adoption by God, and I want to give a father's blessing to everyone. This is out of Frank Marzullo's book. He has had testimonies that this has changed people's entire lives. So I want to read this Father's blessing to you, and I want you to just close your eyes, and I want you to hear this blessing, not from me, but from your Heavenly Father, God. I bless you with the healing of all wounds of rejection, neglect, and abuse that you have suffered. I bless you with overflowing peace, the peace that only comes from the Prince of Peace, a peace beyond man's comprehension. I bless your life with fruitfulness, good fruit, much fruit, and fruit that remains. I bless you with success. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. I bless you with health and strength of body, soul, and spirit. I bless you with overflowing prosperity, enabling you to be a blessing to others. I bless you with spiritual influence, for you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. You are like a tree planted by rivers of water. You will prosper in all your ways. I bless you with a depth of spiritual understanding and a close walk with me. You will not stumble or falter, for my word will be a lamp unto your feet and a light to your path. I bless you with pure and edifying relationships in life. You have favor with me and with man. I bless you with astounding love. You will minister my comforting grace to others. You are blessed, my child. You are blessed with all spiritual blessings in my Son, Jesus Christ. I now release the spirit of adoption upon you, and you are mine. Receive it. I am your Father, and I am so proud of you. Receive my love. Receive my all-encompassing acceptance of you. Receive life. Receive my Holy Spirit. Receive me as your Abba Father. Now welcome to the congregation. You are no longer on the outside looking in. You are no longer an outcast. You are a member of my family. You are special to me. I desire to spend time with you. I love the sound of your voice. I am never too busy for you. There is nothing too small to bring to me. I am concerned with everything that concerns you. I desire to help you. I desire to heal you and make you whole. Stop trying to live up to everybody's expectations of you, even your own. You live your life to please me, and you don't have to worry about what anybody else thinks of you or says about you. I love you. You can know it. I love you. You can believe it. I love you. Receive it. Be blessed. Amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.